بالله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. Today is our ninth session, right?
Nine. Okay.
طيب today this is our ninth session in reading from the Arabic lessons in Hadith for Mustawa Thalith, Level 3, Islamic University of Medina. Last week we looked at page 22, Al-Hadith Al-Thaminu Wa-Tasiu. Al-Hadith Al-Thaminu Wa-Tasiu. You know what? I need the microphone. Is the microphone over there? I need the microphone for the sisters. Sorry, I almost forgot. Yeah. Barakallahu feekum. Okay. Last week, we took hadith number 8 and 9. Oh, this thing is too loud. Together. Pardon me. Last week we took hadith number 8 and 9 together. And I mentioned, I hope you remembered, that what we're responsible for in terms of memorization is hadith number 8. And that inshallah this week we're going to discuss this topic a little further with some more details concerning hadith number 9. And hadith number 9 will be yani required for memorization this week. So, even though we discussed both hadith to some extent last week, this week we want to go a little further into hadith number 9, the hadith of Samura radiallahu anhu. In terms of yani the meaning of that hadith and the wording of the hadith, and you know, some of what has been said concerning that hadith in reference or as it relates to the hadith from last week, hadith number 8, hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, and the ruling. When we look at both of these hadith, the ruling concerning the ghusl of Yawmul Jumu'ah. The ghusl of Yawmul Jumu'ah. So, let me just quickly review hadith number 8 and then look at hadith number 9. And then we'll talk about the wording of that hadith and its meanings and in some points related to the legal ruling. Okay, so hadith number 8, as we have here on the board, the hadith of Abu وعن أبي سعيد الخدري رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال غسل يوم الجمعة واجب على كل محتلم أخرجه السبعة يعني غسل يوم الجمعة the غسل the bath for the day of Jumu'ah is واجب obligatory يعني confirmed ثابتٌ يعني should not be abandoned it's واجبٌ على كل محتلمٍ يعني obligatory on every محتلم محتلم we said means what بالغٌ الحلم نعم the one who reached the age of puberty responsibility نعم and يعني just quickly we mentioned last week يعني some of the discussion concerning this hadith and its ruling, we said that the majority of scholars hold that the ghusl of Yawmul Jumu'ah is yani mustahab, not obligatory, the majority of scholars. And a minority of scholars take this hadith literally, like the Zahiriyya, and they say that it's obligatory. In any case, and we talked about that in some detail last week, but the majority of scholars hold that the meaning of wajibun is ثابتٌ. It's confirmed, emphasized, and it should not be abandoned. However, if a person doesn't take a ghusl on Yawm al-Jumu'ah, but rather they perform ablution, then this is sufficient. They are not sinful in abandoning the ghusl. But they have lost the virtue of the excellence of the ghusl, which includes the wudu and extra, right? So that means it is better. In any case, We talked about this in some detail last week. And the muhtalim, and we said, is the one who has reached the age of puberty, the age of responsibility. And then we said, أَخْرَجُهُ السَّبَعَةُ. We said, السَّبَعَةُ means, يعني seven collectors of hadith. Seven collectors of hadith. Huh? Anybody remember who they are? One. Okay, the first one that they mention from the seven always is Imam Ahmed. And then after that, the two, Shaykhan, Al-Bukhari and Muslim, and then Ashab al-Sunan, Arba'a, that is Abu Dawud, Tirmidhi, Nasa'i, and Ibn Majah. Okay? I hope that you received the notes concerning this. Okay? So we should know these seven yani collectors of hadith, and we should understand this terminology as it's used by Al-Hafidh ibn Hajj al-Asqalani in Bulugh Maram, and similar terminology is used by Al-Jadd, yani Ibn Taymiyyah, in his book Muntaqa al-Akhbar, yani, and its explanation, Nail al-Awtar by Imam al-Shawkani. And other scholars also use this type of terminology, seven and six and five and so on. Al-Hafidh ibn Hajj in Bulugh Maram, he used the expression As-Saba'atu, and in Nail al-Awtar or Muntaha al-Akhbar, he used the expression instead of As-Saba'atu, Al-Jama'atu. Al-Jama'atu means same as As-Saba'atu. Yani the seven collectors, Al-Imam Ahmed in his Musnad, the two Sahihs, Al-Bukhari and Muslim, and the four Sunan, Abu Dawud, Tirmidhi, Nasa'i, and Ibn Majah. Okay, and then we said, if they say five, if instead of seven, I mean, if they say six instead of seven, a sitta, then they mean? Except Ahmed. The other six, all the remaining, except Ahmed. And if they said five, then they mean? Except the two Shaykhan, that is Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Yani. And if they said four, they mean the four Sunan. Abu Dawud, Tirmidhi, Nasa'i, and Ibn Majah. And if they said three, they mean Illa Ibn Majah. Yani the four Sunan except Ibn Majah. And of course, Yani Muttafaqun Alay means the Sahihain, Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Okay. That was in reference to last week's hadith. And today we want to look at, in the explanation of last week's hadith on page 23. Yani within the explanation, we have a hadith, and that is what we are counting as hadith number 9. Yani, on this chapter, hadith 8 and 9, on page 22 we have hadith number 8, and on page 23, not as a separate box, but within the explanation, we have hadith number 9, where it says, ma'ana al-hadith, the meaning of the hadith. Ma'ana al-hadith wadi, the meaning of the hadith is clear. However, اختلف العلماء في وجوب غسل يوم الجمعة. But the scholars differed concerning the obligation of taking a bath on the day of Jum'ah. فَذَهَبَ الْجُمْهُورِ. ذَهَبَ here means what? They held the opinion. The majority of scholars held the opinion. إِلَىٰ أَنَّهُ سُنَّةٌ مُؤَكَّدَةٌ. That it is a confirmed sunnah. The ghusl of Yawm al-Jum'ah is a confirmed sunnah. This is the opinion of the majority. And one of their proofs is the hadith of Samura. And that's our hadith for today. Hadith Samura. Yani his name is Samura ibn Jundub radiallahu anhu. Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man tawadda'a yawm al-jumu'ati fabiha wa ni'mat. Wa man ightasala falghuslu afdalu. Is anybody not find our place where we are? It's not written as a separate hadith. It's within the explanation of last week's hadith on page 23. And it's in the middle of the page, on page 23. You have page 23? Yeah. Right here. Hadith Samura. This is the hadith here. Alright. Everybody else have it? Okay. It's in the middle of the page under Ma'ana al-Hadith. First, second, the end of the second line. The end of the second line. The last word says men. That's the beginning of the hadith. And the next line, tawadda'a. Men tawadda'a. Yawm al-jumu'ah. Yani whoever performs ablution on the day of Jumu'ah. Yawma, yani has fatah here. Why?
Yawma,
مفعول فيه ظرف الزمان ظرف الزمان indicating the time of this ablution من توضى يوم الجمعة whoever performs ablution on the day of جمعة فبها ونعمت فبها ونعمت يعني so whoever does so then this is fine يعني they have done well يعني this is the general meaning of فبها ونعمت يعني whoever has done something you say فبها ونعمت it means then this is fine this is okay it is alright نعمة is a يعني an expression or a verb that's used to express يعني praise of something you say what a perfect or what a wonderful or what a fine person he is نعمة رجل هذا what a fine man he is wonderful excellent thing this is whatever so this is a verb that's used to show praise of something to show the excellence of something oh how excellent it is so here in this hadith this expression came فَبِهَا وَنِعْمَةً so that means عَلَيْكُمْ السَّلَامُ then whoever has taken the ablution on the day of Jumu'ah then this is sufficient for them it is sufficient for them to have made ablution وَنِعْمَةً and it is excellent it is wonderful it is sufficient it is okay وَمَنْ اِغْتَسَلَ and whoever takes a bath a complete bath Yani, which includes wudu, right? Which includes the ablution, because the ghusl, yani, the sunnah of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, when he made ghusl, within the ghusl there's ablution, right? Meaning that he washed his hands, he made istinja, washed the private parts, then he made a complete ablution, like the ablution for salat. And then after that, he poured water over his head and over the rest of his body, and in some of the narrations that he moved from the place where he was standing and washed his feet. So the ghusl, according to the sunnah, includes يعني wudu. So in this hadith, وَمَنْ اِغْتَسَلَ some of the scholars said, means whoever تَوَضَّعَ مَعَ يعني whoever تَوَضَّعَ وَاغْتَسَلَ يعني whoever اغْتَسَلَ including يعني the wudu. Whoever يعني took a complete bath يعني along with having performed ablution. فَالْغُسْلُ أَفْضَلُ Then this ghusl is better. يعني why? Because it includes the ablution and more than that. So it's better. It's better. Again, مَنْ تَوَضَّعَ يَوْمَ الْجُمُعَةِ Whoever performs ablution on the day of Jumu'ah, the day of gathering. فَبِهَا وَنِعْمَةً Then let him suffice with it. يعني with having performed ablution. Yani this is a rukhsa, it's a permission. Even though it's better to make ghusl, but if a person performs ablution, this is a rukhsa, you have permission to do so, it's sufficient. فَبِهَا وَنِعْمَةً So he has, yani sufficed, let him suffice with just making ablution, وَنِعْمَةً And this is, yani good, it is excellent. It is just fine. وَمَنْ اِغْتَسَلَ But whoever takes a ghusl, complete ghusl, yani including the wudu, فَالْغُسْلُ yani in this case, the ghusl is أَفْضَلُ Better. نعم. رواه الخمسة. الخمسة تو. Yani reported by the five. وَحَسَّنَهُ الترمذي And it has been declared to be حَسَن. By At-Tirmidhi. Hassan, we mean by Hassan what? What do we mean by Hassan? Yani, Hassanahu At-Tirmidhi. Al-Imam At-Tirmidhi said this hadith is Hassan. What do we mean by Hassan? Acceptable, good, right? Huh? Acceptable, good, naam. Yani means Hassan, yani means it's good, it's acceptable. Yani, but technically it means a hadith that didn't meet the full stringent requirements to be classified as sahih. So it's a lesser degree than sahih. Maybe it has some yani shortcoming in it, some kind of small defect, but it's still acceptable to be using it as a proof. We accept it. But it doesn't have the same status, same grade, same level of sahih. So hasan means that it's good, means that it's acceptable, but it doesn't reach the same level as sahih, although it's acceptable as a proof in the sharia. So this hadith is reported by the Khamsa, and we mean by Khamsa who? As-sab'atu illa shaykhan. Yani, the seven except the two shaykhs, that is Al-Bukhari and Muslim. So the seven means Ahmed and Abu Dawud, At-Tirmidhi and Nasa'i and Ibn Majah. Those five, not including Al-Bukhari and Muslim. They all narrate this hadith, and actually some of the scholars like Imam Ash-Shawkani and Nail al-Awta, he says that it's narrated by the Ashab al-Sunan, the four of them, except Ibn Majah. Yani he doesn't include Ibn Majah. He says that Ibn Majah narrated it from a different chain. Yani from Jabir or from Abu Hurairah or from someone else other than Yani, as this one is from Samura. So he didn't include it amongst them, and instead some of the scholars put here with the other three, they put the Sunan of Ad-Darimi. But in any case, Ibn Majah did narrate a hadith with this meaning, although the wording is slightly different. Yani from a different companion. Okay, so when we say Khamsa here, we mean the Ashab al-Sunan, the four Sunan, including Al-Imam Ahmed, plus Imam Ahmed. Although, yani there's some discussion concerning the Sunan of Ibn Majah, we'll talk about that in more detail. Any question about the wording of the hadith? Yani the wording of the hadith. Men tawadda, yani whoever performs ablution, yawm al-jumu'ah, on the day of gathering, fabiha wa ni'mat, yani then let him suffice with it. Yani with this permission, this rukhsa, or this sunnah, and this is good, it's commendable, wa ni'mat. Wa man igtasala, and whoever takes a ghusl, a complete ghusl, فَالْغُسْلُ أَفْضَلُ, then doing so, taking the ghusl is better. Any word that's not clear here? No.
It's not about the word, you have a question about, you said that this is Hassan, as a prophet,
because
the two shaykhs haven't recorded it?
No, no. There are hadith that are sahih that's not reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. But it means that, yani, within the isnad, the chain of narrators, there's probably a narrator who his level of accuracy doesn't reach the level that his hadith can be classified as sahih. So they say he has good memory, but sometimes he makes mistakes, a little bit. Okay? So that because of that narrator, then the level of authenticity of the hadith is brought down, descends a little bit from sahih to hasan. Or it might be some other reasons. It could be like a break in the chain or something that is supported from other chains or whatever. I mean, there are different reasons, but the point is that it's not just because it's not recorded by Bukhari and Muslim, because there are some hadith that Al-Hakim has collected in his book called Al-Mustadrak. These are hadith that he considered to be sahih according to the conditions of Bukhari and Muslim, but neither Bukhari nor Muslim narrated them. Although, I mean, there's discussion about that too, how strong Al-Hakim was, but the point is he collected hadith that neither Bukhari nor Muslim collected, and he said they are sahih according to their conditions, but they didn't collect them. And then you have the sahih of Ibn Khuzaymah that has hadith that are not in Bukhari and Muslim. You have the sahih of Ibn Hibban that are not in Bukhari and Muslim. And you have other books that have authentic hadith that are not in Bukhari and Muslim. So, because the hadith is not in Bukhari and Muslim doesn't mean it became hasan. No, there are sahih, there are lots of hadith that are sahih that are not in Bukhari and Muslim. But hasan means it's a little bit less in terms of the strength of the narrators, and like this, okay? No.
But when you say that it has some like hadith that is classified as sahih,
no,
that were not collected by Bukhari and Muslim, is it that Bukhari and Muslim heard about the hadith and they didn't collect them, or they didn't hear about the hadith?
It could be either way. First, yani, I don't want to go into detailed discussion about this because it's a lengthy discussion. But just to answer your question, neither Bukhari nor Muslim made as a condition for their book that they would collect every hadith that was sahih. They didn't say that. They said, we will only collect hadith which are sahih. We won't collect anything else. But maybe we won't collect every hadith that's sahih. But whatever we collect, it has to be sahih. Okay, you understand the difference?
Oh, no.
They said, whatever we collect has to be sahih. But they didn't say, every hadith that's sahih we're going to collect. But whatever is in our book, it will be sahih. Then there may be other hadith that are sahih we didn't collect, for whatever reason. Maybe it could be sahih, but it didn't really meet their stringent conditions, because they have very stringent conditions. So a hadith could be sahih, but it didn't meet their conditions. So they didn't collect it, because it didn't meet their condition. Or it could be that they didn't know it either. Also, it's possible. because they didn't know every hadith, right? Even though yani they knew a lot of hadith, way more than what they collected, yani thousands more than what they collected.
Now, now my question, actually, you talk about the ghusl.
Now,
I took like a fake lesson a long time ago about the ghusl.
Now,
and you mentioned that the ghusl include the
ablution.
But in that class, they said that there is a ghusl that includes ablution, but there is another one that doesn't include the ablution, like you wash your hands.
Yani in general, some of the scholars say that ghusl, it requires that a person have intention, right? Because worship requires intention, and that every part of the body has to be washed with water. But we're talking about the ghusl that's legislated in the sunnah from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The way he performed ghusl, every hadith that mentions the ghusl of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions him performing full ghusl, including ablution. We didn't find any hadith from the Prophet performing ghusl without ablution. So this is really the ghusl that we're talking about. The ghusl of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not, is there a bare requirement that at least you just have to pour water over your whole body? We're not talking about that. We're talking about, how did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam perform ghusl? He didn't do it any other way. That's a long discussion. That's not for us now. And that will be a few classes, you know, in a row. Two or three or four classes we'll talk about this. Okay, but let's try to stick to where we are, because our time is, you know, somewhat limited, okay? So, our hadith for today, for memorization for this week, is hadith number 9, hadith of Samura, which we have just explained. Is there any question concerning the wording of the hadith or anything in it that's not clear to you, so that as you memorize it, it's easy for you to remember? Whoever performs ablution on the day of Jummah, then let them suffice with it, and this is good, this is wonderful, it's fine. And whoever performs a ghusl, yani the ghusl that includes ablution, then this ghusl is better. Naam, Mustafa? Did you have a question?
Yeah, why did I understand he said, man wadahu yawm al-jumati fabiha wa ni'mat. Fabiha
wa ni'mat. Why?
The expression.
Yeah, I don't understand.
Oh, we're going to talk about it now. We're going to explain it. That's why we have a separate class for this hadith, so we can explain exactly what it means. There are different opinions of the scholars about what this expression means. I'm going to read to you them now.
I have had a question about the wording. I don't know if it's the same purpose. It seems to me that when you're translating, the word fabiha, you said it means sufficient.
Okay. I'm just giving a general translation. We're going to give the detailed meaning of the translation now. Yani some of the scholars explained it like that. Sufficient. Some said it's a rukhsa. Some said that it's sunnah. Some said that it's fard. They give different explanations of this expression. The expression is not completely clear. So the scholars differ about what does it mean. But now we're going to talk about what it means. That's why we want to make a separate class for this hadith, so we can talk about what does it mean, okay? Alright, so... I said, so it'd be sufficient, because some scholars said, فَبِيهَا means, فَيَكْتَفِي بِيهَا, let him suffice with this. Meaning, let him suffice with doing this action, that is, the wudu, alone. What is intended here, is that the wudu is mamduh. Performing wudu is praiseworthy. Yani, the Prophet ﷺ allowed it to be done. So it's something that's good in our sharia. And the person who only performs ablution without making a full ghusl, then they are not blamed. It's not blameworthy. That's the point, okay? فَبِيهَا وَنِعْمَةً فَبِيهَا, then let them suffice with this, performing the ablution alone. This is something that's praiseworthy, it's commendable, and the sharia, and the person who does this alone is not blameworthy. Yani whoever performs the ablution, they have achieved a great virtue, yani performing ablution on Yom Jumu'ah. And this is a wonderful thing. Okay, as far as the discussion concerning this expression, the detailed discussion concerning this expression. Well, before we look at this expression, I want to go back to yani Rawahu al-Khamsa, Ahmed and the 4 Sunan. This hadith was narrated by al-Imam Abu Dawood in his Sunan, the Sunan of Abu Dawood. He narrated with a chain of narrators that ends with Qatada from Al-Hasan from Samura. Qatada from Hasan al-Basri from Samura radiallahu anhu, who said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he gave the wording exactly like this: من توضع يوم الجمعة فبها ونعمة ومن اغتسل فهو أفضل. That's how he came in Sunan Abu Dawud alayhi salam. And the Sunan of Nasa'i, he brought a chain of narration from his sheikh, from Shu'aba, from Qatada, from Hasan, yani also from Qatada, from Hasan al-Basri, from Samura. Yani, but the beginning of his chain is from a different sheikh down the line. And this hadith is attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, likewise with the exact same wording, the same wording that we have here. That's in the Sunan of Nasa'i. And the Sunan of At-Tirmidhi, also it came with a similar chain to Nasa'i. He has his own sheikh, a different sheikh than Imam al-Nasa'i, but he narrated the hadith down the line from Shu'bah, from Qatada, from Hasan, from Samura, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam give this wording, just as we have it here. So this wording came in Abu Dawud, Nasa'i, and At-Tirmidhi, exactly the same wording, but with different chains, all ending up with Samura, and yani Samura hearing it from Hasan, Hasan hearing it from Qatada. All of them have it like that. Qatada, Hasan, Samura. But the rest of the chain before that is different, because each of them had different teachers whose chain goes back to yani the end of it being the same. Yani Qatada from Hasan from Samura radiallahu anhu. As far as Ibn Majah, that's what I want to point to. In the Sunan of Ibn Majah, this hadith came, but the wording is a little bit different. In the Sunan of Ibn Majah, he narrates it from Anas ibn Malik, not from Samura, from Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, من توضأ يوم الجمعة فبها ونعمت. Same, right? But then he says, يجزي عنه الفريضة. Yani whoever makes ablution on the day of Jumu'ah, فبها ونعمت, and this will suffice him from doing the farida. Yani as though the farida is something else, that is ghusl. That's the way it came in Ibn Majah. Then he said, وَمَنْ اِغْتَصَلَ فَالْغُسْلُ أَفْضَلُ. But whoever takes a ghusl, the ghusl is better. So you see, even though the rest of the hadith is the same, in between these two sentences, in Ibn Majah has some other wording. Shaykh al-Albani said that the narration of Ibn Majah, he said, is sahih, except the words yujzi anhu al-farida, those extra words. Except those words. And it's not authentic, those words. So some of the scholars excluded Ibn Majah from this hadith when they narrated. They said Abu Dawud, Tirmidhi, and Nasa'i, not Ibn Majah. Ibn Majah came with a different narration, almost the same wording, but a little different wording from Anas. And yani, even though yani, if you take those words out, the rest of what has been reported by them is acceptable. So I wanted to point to this because yani, sometimes the scholars of hadith are very meticulous, and they identify small little things that maybe you think are insignificant, but there's a reason for it. Okay, so even though we said Al-Khamsa, Ahmad and the four Sunan, in reality, we may exclude Ibn Majah because his narration is a little bit different, and it's narrated from a different companion, and it has some wording that is not acceptable. Alright, so I just wanted to point to that. And this shows the meticulousness of the scholars of Sunnah. Okay, now I want to go to the wording فَبِهَا وَنِعْمَةٌ. فَبِهَا وَنِعْمَةٌ. Yani whoever performs ablution on the day of Jumu'ah, فَبِهَا وَنِعْمَةٌ. These are some of the sayings. There's a lot of interpretations of this expression that I found in the books of hadith, explanations of hadith. From amongst them is the way I translated it when I mentioned the hadith. They said, فَبِهَا, it means, فَيَكْتَفِي بِهَا, أي بِتِلْكَ الْفِعْلَ الَّتِي هِيَ الْوُضُوء. يعني فَبِهَا means, then suffice with that particular action, that فِعْلَ, which action is it? الْوُضُوء. Suffice with this. Let it be sufficient for you. It's enough if you did that. وَنِعْمَةٌ Yani, so this yani is this action doing so is something that is commendable, praiseworthy. It's good. The scholars said that what is intended here, فَبِهَا وَنِعْمَةً, it means that performing wudu is مَمْدُوح شَرْعًا. Yani it's praiseworthy, it's not blameworthy to make ablution. Don't think if you only made ablution you have fallen short. No, this is something in the Sharia that's praiseworthy. لَا يُذَمْ مَنْ اِقْتَصَرَ عَلَيْهِ, the one who only performs the ablution, that person is not blamed. Okay, another explanation of this expression. First explanation, what? فَبِهَا وَنِعْمَةً, yani let him suffice with doing this particular action. وَنِعْمَةً, and it's something praiseworthy. وَقِيلَ, another explanation, فَبِهَا, meaning fa هَذِهِ الْخَصْلَ أو الْفِعْلَ, this characteristic or this action of making ablution, that is الوضوء ينال الفضل, yani a person when they make ablution they have achieved a virtuous deed. They have achieved a virtuous deed. Yani ni'mat. Yani it's good. You have done something good. Yani this action or this characteristic of making ablution, it is something good. Another interpretation. Qila fabi taharatil wudu. Fabiha means bi taharatil wudu. The purification by means of ablution. Hasala al wajib. You have achieved that which is obligatory. Yani if you made ablution, you have achieved that which is obligatory. You have not fallen short. وَنِعْمَةَ الطَّهَارَ لِلصَّلَاةِ هَذِهِ, and oh how wonderful is the tahara, yani by ablution for this salat, yani salatul jum'ah. Yani it's good, it's something good. The meaning is not very different, but yani they have worded it a little bit differently. Okay, but the point is what? That you have not fallen short. Even though making a ghusl is better. Other scholars said, فَبِالرُّخْصَةِ أَخَذَ وَنِعْمَةَ الرُّخْصَ هَذِهِ, يعني فَبِهَا وَنِعْمَةَ, يعني ha means the رُخْصَة, the permission to make ablution alone without going all the way with the full ghusl. This is the رُخْصَة. رُخْصَة means a permission, يعني a special permission from doing something more, you can do less. Allah has given us in the Sharia permission for what? Shortening the prayers when you're traveling. Huh? He has given permission for a person to yani delay the fasting in Ramadan if they are traveling. Huh? And so on, like this. Yani this rukhsa. Combining prayers, for example, when you're traveling. Or when you are sick and you can't yani make, you know, purification regularly. So this meaning, they said what? Bi taharatul wudu. Yani fabiha, whoever have made ablution, then this purification by ablution, you have achieved that which is obligatory, and this purification by ablution for the salat, it is commendable. Oh, I'm sorry. I went to the next one, right? The rukhsa. يعني قيل فبالرخصة أخذ ونعمة الرخصة هذه. Yeah, that's the one I was explaining. Sorry. يعني so whoever makes ablution, they have taken a permission. فبالرخصة أخذ. They have taken a permission that Allah has allowed in the Sharia. ونعمة الرخصة هذه. And this permission, taking it, is something good, commendable. Other scholars said, فبالسنة أخذ. يعني instead of رخصة, the meaning of biha, instead of it referring to rukhsa, said it means it refers to sunnah. Whoever makes ablution, فَبِالسُنَّةِ أَخَذَ, they have taken the sunnah. They have performed that which is sunnah. وَنِعْمَةَ السُنَّةِ, and blessed, how excellent is the sunnah. Some scholars said, and this explanation is a problem, فَبِهَا وَنِعْمَةَ, they said, فَبِالْفَرِيضَةِ أَخَذَ, that they have done that which is obligatory. وَنِعْمَةَ الْفَرِيضَ هَذِهِ, and blessed is this yani obligatory deed. The problem with this interpretation, that if biha refers to فَرِيضَ, then if the ablution is the fariḍa, then how can we come after that and say the ghusl is better? That's the problem, right? In any case, these are some of the interpretations. I just want to share with you that the meaning of this expression is not yani agreed upon. The general meaning, yes, but the specific meaning, what does the ha, the pronoun, refer to? Yani, it's not crystal clear. Yani, does it refer to al-fi'la, this particular action of ablution? Or does it refer to al-rukhsa, yani the permission to do the wudu instead of ghusl? Or does it refer to as-sunnah, yani fabiha, yani bis-sunnah? Then you have done the sunnah, akhada, and this is also good. In any case, generally speaking, whether you say it means whoever made ablution, they have taken a permission, or they have done a good deed, or they have done the sunnah, no problem, it's all the same, right? Whoever has done so, the point is, you have done something that's permissible, that's allowed, that's praiseworthy, and it is good. Ni'mat. It is good. It's praiseworthy. It's commendable. That's really the meaning of this expression. Na'am. I don't know that there's a raji. Any, a lot of scholars give this opinion. Some of them agreed with one of those opinions. Some of them agree with another opinion. Others agree with a different opinion. And some of them mentioned different opinions, more than one opinion. And they said basically they're all good, any one of them. And they're not contradictory, except the last one that I mentioned. This has a problem. But the rest of the meanings are the same. طيب, after this, he said, وَمَنْ اِغْتَصَلَ فَالْغُسْلُ أَفْضَلُ نَعْمُ. The last one they said, يعني فبيها ونعمة فبي الفريضة. فبيها ha refers to الفريضة. أخذ, يعني the person has done that which is obligatory. ونعمة الفريضة هذه. And this obligatory deed of doing the ablution on يوم الجمعة is good. But if we say that يعني فبيها means فبالفريضة, then the ablution is obligatory, then the ghusl is sunnah. How then can the sunnah be afdal, better than the obligatory? And how can sunnah here means what? That it's not obligatory. You know sunnah has many meanings, right? Sunnah means the practice of the Prophet ﷺ. Sunnah means that which is not obligatory. Sunnah means aqidah. Sunnah means a lot of different meanings. Depends on the context. But the context here, that they're using it in afdal, yani here means something is better. So if we say one is sunnah and one is fard, farida, we mean one is obligatory and the other is less than that, meaning it's not obligatory. It's not mandatory for you to do it, okay? So how can that which is obligatory be yani less than that which is not obligatory? That's another meaning that we're going to come to in the rest of the hadith. But we're just talking about here is if we are saying that the wudu is fard and the ghusl is sunnah, then the problem with it is how can then the sunnah be better than the fard? That's the issue that, anyway, some scholars give this meaning. So we're not saying that we reject it outright, but it's just a little problematic. Unless we interpret it in a way that some scholars interpreted it. And that's what I alluded to earlier when I was translating the hadith. And we'll look at that meaning also. Yani, what some scholars alluded to what? How then is it better? Yani, why is the ghusl better? The ghusl is better because it includes something extra. Yani, it includes the ablution and it also includes extra, more than ablution. That's one of the meanings that some of the scholars gave. In any case, this is something that yani, this is how they have interpreted it. Okay, so second part of the hadith, وَمَنْ اِقْتَصَلَ فَالْغُسْلُ أَفْضَلُ yani, so whoever takes a full bath, then this is better. Taking the full bath is better. So some scholars give this interpretation now that I alluded to earlier. What is intended here is not that the ghusl is better than the wudu in and of itself. The act, yani, in which case somebody may say, كيف يفضل الغسل وهو السنة. If the ghusl is sunnah, how can it be better than, according to the opinion of some scholars, they said the ghusl is sunnah and the ablution is fard. Then how can the thing that is sunnah, yani the ghusl, be better than the thing that is fard, the wudu? While we know that whatever is obligatory by ijma is better than that which is sunnah. Yani any obligatory duty is better than a sunnah act. Something that's not obligatory, yeah, and it's just commendable. This is obligatory, this is not obligatory, it's good to do. Then what is obligatory is better. That's why you have to do the obligatory deeds first, and then you can go to what's less than that, the extra commendable deeds. In any case, what is intended here, they said, that's not what is intended. That something which is sunnah is better than something that is obligatory, but they interpreted in this way to explain that problem away. They said what is intended is that the ghusl, which also includes within it wudu as a part of that ghusl, that's better than just making ablution by itself. That's what they're saying. That's how they're interpreting it then. So in this case, they're saying that these are the scholars who say that the ablution is obligatory and the ghusl is not obligatory. But why is it better? Because it includes that which is obligatory, the ablution, plus it includes something extra. So if you make the ghusl, you did that which is obligatory and you added to it something extra, that's how it became better. Okay? That's the only way that something which is sunnah, yani, can be better than something that's obligatory, is if that which is sunnah includes that which is obligatory plus extra along with it. Walaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
In reality,
you covered that which is obligatory plus you added to it something.
This
way in the corner. Brother, can you move your chair so they can have some room to pray? Walaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Tayyib. Yani, it is as though they are saying, whoever makes ablution and they also make ghusl, yani that which is extra, then this is better than the one who made ablution alone. This is one interpretation. I just want to make a couple other points in the few minutes that remain before the adhan. Some important points related to this particular hadith. And some of these points I may have mentioned quickly last week, but I want to make sure that they are clear. Yani in terms of in Taysir al-Alam, the Sharh of Umdat al-Ahkam by Shaykh Abdullah Ali Bassam, yani this hadith, Umdat al-Ahkam, is a book of hadith containing hadith from Bukhari and Muslim. Hadith that are agreed upon by Bukhari and Muslim, and few hadith in there is only by Bukhari or only by Muslim. Most of them are agreed upon Bukhari and Muslim. In the explanation of this book, yani the author of the explanation, he says, قال Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, يجب الغسل على من له عرق أو له ريح يتأذى به غيره. يعني when is the ghusl obligatory for Yawm al-Jumu'ah? It is for the person who is sweating and the person who has a smell coming from their body that harms other people. Then it's obligatory to make a ghusl for Yawm al-Jumu'ah. Al-Baghawi, great scholar of hadith, he has a famous book called Sharh Sunnah, collection of hadith and explanation of hadith. He says in his book Sharh Sunnah, اختلف العلماء في وجوب غسل الجمعة مع اتفاقهم على أن الصلاة جائزة من غير غسل. And Al-Baghawi said what? The scholars have differed concerning the obligation of the ghusl for يوم الجمعة, while they have agreed اتفاقهم على أن الصلاة جائزة. They have agreed that the prayer is permissible من غير غسل, without taking a غسل. So even if they said it's obligatory, they meant what? It's emphasized. But if a person, يعني, perform the prayer without performing غسل, prayer is permissible. It's valid. It's acceptable.
So for those who say that it's wajib, they say that if you don't, you don't perform it, you have a sin.
That's the Zahiriyyah, they say that. But the rest of the scholars, are what he is saying here is what the other scholars are saying. They are saying obligatory here doesn't mean that you are sinful if you didn't do it. The prayer is still valid and you have not committed a sin, but it means that it's emphasized, it should not be abandoned. If you can do it, it's better not to leave it.
Because I see two things here. One is to for the prayer to be invalid, and one is to have a sin.
No, here we're talking about both of them. We're talking about the prayer being valid and there's no sin against you. We're saying both of them. Okay? So let me finish what he said. Al-Baghawi said, what is better for the person who's going to Jummah is that they do not leave off the ghusl. لِأَنَّهُ قَدْ اتَّفَقَ عَلَى مَشْرُعِيَتِهِ وَأَدِلَّةُ وُجُوبِهِ قَوِيَّةِ وَالْإِحْتِيَاطِ يعني أحسن وأولى. So he said, يعني what is better for the person going to Jummah is not to leave off the ghusl. Why? Because it being legislated that you should make a ghusl on Yawm al-Jummah, that it is came in the Sharia to do so, is agreed upon. There's no difference that it's legislated to do it. Doesn't mean that it's obligatory. But certainly there's agreement at least that what? It's not agreement that it's obligatory. But there's agreement that it's legislated. Therefore a person should not abandon it. And not only that, but the evidence is of its obligation of the ghusl are qawiyah, strong. Even though the majority of scholars said it's not obligatory in the sense that you're sinful if you didn't do it. But the evidences of its obligation are strong. From amongst those evidences are what we talked about last week. The hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, radiallahu anhu. Huh? So the evidences were strong. In that case, it's better that a person do it. Because what? There's difference of opinion. What if those people who said it's obligatory and the prayer is invalid and you're sinful if you didn't, what if they are right? So by you making the ghusl, because you fear that that opinion is strong, it could be correct. So you make the ghusl, you escape from the ikhtilaf. He also said, al-ihtiyat, being careful to take the more safer position. He said, this is what? Ahsan wa awla. This is better and more befitting of you. This is an important rule here. We don't have a lot of time, right? But this is an important rule. You have to pay attention to this rule. Al-ahyat, al-ihtiyat, yani it's better that you take the safe position. If there's difference of opinion amongst the scholars about something, take the safer position. Yani some of the scholars said this is obligatory, some of them said it's only sunnah. Well, if you do it, that's the safe position, right? Because if it's only sunnah, you're okay. And if it's obligatory, you're still okay. But if you take the unsafe position, that I believe it's only sunnah. What if they are wrong and it really is obligatory? Now you have fallen into sin. So taking the precaution, taking the safe position, this is better. And it's awla. It's more right that you should do so. And so this is how we should think when there's ikhtilaf amongst the scholars. Look at the safe position. The safe position is the one, al-khuruj min al-khilaf. Yani how you escape from the difference? By doing this one. By making that ghusl, you escape from the difference. You're good on both sides. But if you don't, then you're only good on one side. On the other side, you may be in trouble if they are right. Anyway. You could say that. You can say that. But here, yani, this is how he described it. Yeah, the Shaykh, he used this wording. We want to stick to his wording, right? Anyway, quickly, Al-Imam Abdullah Ali Bassam, he says in the explanation of this hadith, فِيهِ دَلِيلٌ عَلَى أَنَّ الْغُسْلُ يَكُونُ لِلصَّلَاةِ يعني in this hadith is an indication that the ghusl is performed for the Jumu'ah prayer. So performing it before the Jumu'ah prayer, that it precedes the Jumu'ah prayer, is what is correct. And that is because what is intended by this ghusl is not the day of Jumu'ah, but rather the Jumu'ah prayer itself. That you are not performing it just for the day of Jumu'ah, you have to take a ghusl every Jumu'ah. No, but you are performing it for the Jumu'ah prayer. Bismillah wa salatu wa salam wa rasulillah. We're just going to take a few minutes to try to complete a couple of comments. Yani we only have a little bit of time, right? So try yani, to pay attention so I don't repeat the same thing. I'm reading from the explanation of Umdat al-Ahkam, Taysir al-Alam. Alaykum salam. And he says that yani the last point that we made was that this hadith is an indication that the ghusl is performed for the salat, not specifically for the day of Jummah, but for the salat. This is what is intended, as opposed to the zahiriyah. خلافاً للظاهرية, the literalists, they say that the ghusl, يعني is for the day of Jumu'ah, is sufficient no matter when you do it, even if you make the ghusl after the salah. That's their opinion. Point, he says after this, also in this hadith is a dalil, an evidence that al-afdal an yakun al-ghusl qubail al-zahab ila salatiha. Yani that is better that you perform the ghusl just before going to the salat. Yani as close to the time of the salat as possible. Why? Because the point is that you want to go fresh, that the people come to the Jumu'ah, it's crowded, and people come clean, smelling nice. That's the point. So it's better that you do it as close as possible to the time of going to the salat. The fourth point he says, من حكمة مشروعتي هذه الاغتسال يستدل على أنه ينبغي للإنسان أن يأتي إلى مواطن العبادة والصلاة على أحسن حال وأجل هيئة. يعني from the wisdom of why this ghusl for Yawm al-Jumu'ah has been legislated, there's an indication in it that it is more befitting and proper that a person, not only for Yawm al-Jumu'ah, but whenever they go to the places of worship, whenever they go to any prayer, that they be in the best condition and in the best yani form, yani clothing and outward appearance and everything yani that is possible. And the last point that he makes is the legislation of the ghusl is for the one who is going to the salat, yani to the Jumu'ah salat. As far as other than them, it is not legislated for the people who are not going to Jumu'ah to take a ghusl on the day of Jumu'ah. And this has been mentioned clearly in a wording of the hadith, yani that's reported by Ibn Khuzaymah in his Sahih, where he said, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَأْتِهَا فَلَيْسَ عَلَيْهِ غُسْلٌ. Yani whoever is not going to the Jumu'ah prayer, then it's not obligatory for him to perform ghusl. This is the wording of a narration of the hadith from the Prophet ﷺ, as it's reported in the Sahih of Ibn Khuzaymah. That's how the Shaykh yani mentions the points here. And final point I want to make is in Fathul Bari, the explanation of al-Bukhari by Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali, not the explanation of Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, the other explanation of Bukhari, another explanation. He mentions the hadith from last week, the hadith reported by Imam Muslim from Abu Huraira. In the discussion of that hadith, he mentions a hadith that supports our hadith for today, and that is that the ablution on Yawm al-Jumu'ah is not obligatory. Rather, what is sufficient is that a person takes, yani, makes an ablution. The ghusl is not obligatory, but ablution is sufficient. He narrates the hadith that's reported from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, من توضع فأحسن الوضوء, yani whoever makes ablution and he performs it well, ثم أتى الجمعة, and then he comes to the Jumu'ah prayer without ghusl, just with ablution, فدنا, and he comes near to the khatib, واستمع, and he listens carefully, وأنصت, and he remains silent, غفر له ما بينه وبين الجمعة الأخرى وزيادة ثلاثة أيام. Then he will be forgiven, yani the sins between one Jumu'ah and the other, with an extra, yani forgiveness of an extra 3 days. This hadith is reported by Al-Imam Muslim. And in the explanation of Bukhari, yani when he mentioned this hadith, he says, وَهَذَا يَدُلُّ عَلَى أَنَّ الْوُضُوءَ كَافٍ وَأَنَّ الْمُقْتَصِرَ عَلَيْهِ غَيْرَ آثِمٍ وَلَا عَاصٍ وَأَمَّا الْعَمْرُ بِالْغُسْلِ فَمَحْمُولٌ عَلَى الْإِسْتِعْبَابِ. Okay, he said what? This hadith, reported by Imam Muslim, indicates that the wudu is sufficient. Yani ablution is sufficient. And whoever sufficed with it, yani made ablution alone, without making a full ghusl, this person is not sinful, nor are they in disobedience. And as far as the command, in the other hadith from last week, of performing the ghusl for Yawm al-Jumu'ah, it is understood to be with the meaning of istihbab, that it is mustahab, commendable, praiseworthy, rewardable, something loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani this is yani what we have time to cover for today. I just want to read the hadith for next week so that we can prepare for hadith number 10 on page 24 الحديث العاشر في تحية المسجد يعني concerning greeting the masjid يعني two raka upon entering the masjid عن أبي قتادة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا دخل أحدكم المسجد فلا يجلس حتى يصلي ركعتين متفق عليه يعني عن أبي قتادة رضي الله عنه He said that the Messenger of Allah, no, قال قال رسول الله. There's a fatha on the lamb in رسول. There's a fatha, it should be dhamma. قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا دخل أحدكم المسجد يعني if or when any one of you enters the masjid فلا يجلس. Notice يجلس is مجزوم by what? لا ناهية. فلا يجلس حتى يصلي with fatha With fatta on the yusalliya. Mansub because of what? Mudmara. And mudmara. Naam. Hatta yusalliya raka'ataini. If any one of you enters the masjid, then he must not sit until he performs two raka'a. Yani tahiyat al masjid. Muttafaqun alayh. Agreed upon by al Bukhari and Muslim. We're going to stop here. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.